We'll explain why St. Petersburg, Russia is the center of the economic universe today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Leaders of 20 of the world's biggest economies are meeting in St. Petersburg today. That's in Russia. It's clear Syria will be a dominant topic, but the leaders are also set to work on corporate tax evasion, the future of interest rates, and new trade agreements. Rowan Moore Garrity has the story.
It's not the first time that politics have accompanied economic discussions at the G20.
When we had the Arab Spring, the financial crisis didn't take a back seat to it.
Lita Prema is a researcher with the G20 Research Group at the University of Toronto.
Vladimir Putin is quite adamant on his stance about Syria, and he's also quite adamant about the agenda that he's set for the G20 itself. For him, global growth is number one issue.
Douglas Radiker is a visiting fellow with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says the most important economic discussions may have already taken place without heads of state.
I think most of the technical economic issues are largely agreed to at the level of the finance ministers. So in that regard, Syria is not going to be a dominant or even a sub-issue.
But with the spirit of compromise weakened among heads of state, Radiker says, don't expect any sweeping new initiatives. I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
Checking numbers. The key stock index in Shanghai fell 0.25%, and in Japan, the Nikkei closed right where it began. The FT 100 index is up 0.2%. The Dow rose 96 points yesterday, 0.2%. Stock index futures in the U.S. are mixed at the moment, though. Less than 2 weeks after a software snafu shut the whole NASDAQ for 2 hours, executives at the electronic market were holding a follow-up meeting yesterday, right as the NASDAQ ran into another technical problem, failing to transmit the prices of a bunch of stocks, this time for 6 long minutes. In Mexico this week, a victory for the country's president and a major setback for the striking teachers union there. The Mexican Senate has now approved a package of changes to schools. Teachers are on strike and demonstrations have sometimes turned violent. Enrique Acevedo is a reporter and anchor with the Spanish language broadcaster Univision. We check in with him regularly on Marketplace. Enrique, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. What are some of the changes that Mexican teachers would have to face?
I think the main component of this bill has to do with a merit-based system. Evaluation will be central in this new structure, and that's what has most of the teachers complaining about the new set of rules.
Merit-based promotion, these competency exams. How does the system work presently?
Teachers right now basically own their positions. They're able to inherit those positions and even sell them. So we're looking to change that in Mexico. I think everybody agrees on that. One of the main criticisms on the other side is that this bill lacks a proper training program for the teachers in the long run. You need to provide these teachers with the tools necessary to reach their full potential. And I think training should have been a central component to the bill also.
Teachers and their union are deeply upset with these proposed changes. I understand tempers are running quite high, for instance, in Mexico City.
Yes, during the last couple of weeks, the teachers have protested by the thousands in the country's capital. They've blocked streets, and this disrupted everyday life for a city that's already very chaotic.
The president of Mexico links this reform with other reforms he's doing in the name of what? Fixing Mexico's economy?
I guess modernizing and making Mexico a more competitive economy. As multinationals increase their investment, the demand for well-educated young workers also increases. So education reform and energy reform, reform of the financial systems becomes a key component in helping the widest possible segment of the population enjoy the benefits of Mexico's favorable position in the global economy. You know, it's not newsy for the U.S. right now, but in the long run, it's very important for the U.S. economy.
Depending on how well workers are educated there and economic development in Mexico, it changes, for instance, the immigration picture, right?
Completely. If Mexico keeps doing well and if education reform goes through, that's good news for the U.S.
Enrique Acevedo, one of the stars of Univision News. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
If fashion is your thing, you already know that Fashion Week opens today here in New York City. Used up your vacation time before Labor Day and can't make it in person? Know that the runway action is also streamed online. That has prompted super designer Oscar de la Renta to cut down the guest list for his shows. Kate Archer-Kent has more on the social media angle here.
Fashion Week-related hashtags are flying like a blizzard in New York, and that could be the saving grace for Fashion Week. The traditional runway show may not be cost-effective for many designers who can't afford not to turn it into a branding event, according to Scott Galloway, a marketing professor at NYU's Stern School of Business.
I think brands have realized that and are trying to figure out a way to spread some of that fabulous across their customer base via social media.
Bloggers share front-row seats now with fashion editors and celebrities. But that four-minute runway show can't be replaced, says Isla Mell, the author of the book New York Fashion Week.
You really don't get the best sense unless you're there in person to see the clothes, see how they move.
Galloway says small and medium-sized designers may look at the financial cost and decide it's best to ignore Fashion Week altogether and focus on their core business. That discussion of who snubbed it might just be trending on social media. I'm Kate Archer-Kent for Marketplace.
And you know, sometimes in the fancy coffee aisle, there are two grinders, one for regular beans, the second for flavored, so there's no cross-contamination of the taste. With that in mind, there's this. Campbell Soup is working on soup pods that fit the K-Cup coffee machines in many offices. The pod has the broth, and there's a separate package you tear open with the dried soup chunks. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, the idea for instant pod soup came from on high. One day, Campbell's CEO, Denise Morrison, is making coffee with a pod, and she says to herself something along the lines of, "Hey!" They're still working out the kinks, and the price has yet to be set. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.